Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today we're looking at the unity of discipleship. I want to start back with the first message this morning. Remember what this means, right? What the rocks in front of the pulpit mean? Representing our commitment that we've made the day that we decided religion as usual wasn't enough. That day when we said, Lord, I want to be a disciple, your disciple. And we're continuing that line of study today. But before we get into the message, I want to share with you next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we're having a very special guest, James Taylor. Missionary to Kenya. James Taylor spoke at AYC this year, didn't he? So many of our youth got to hear him. He is an outstanding speaker, an exciting missionary, doing a great work in Kenya. And so I want to give you a heads up. Be here next Sunday night. Okay? Now, it's not going to be just some missionary, oh, I got to listen. You are going to enjoy Brother James Taylor. Okay? So be here for next Sunday night. But be here tonight too. Okay? Because we're going to preach half the message this morning, the other half tonight. We want to get you the whole thing. Also, next Sunday, please be in prayer for me. I'm going to be out of pocket preaching revival at Sharon Missionary Baptist Church beginning next Sunday through Wednesday night. And I need and appreciate your prayers. All right? All right, but right now let's focus our minds, our hearts, our attention on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and let's see what God would share with us this morning through His Word. Would you stand as we read? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as He wills. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, again we approach Your throne of grace, thanking You for Your precious Word. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word. Now, Lord, I pray that Your hand be upon me and just use me as Your instrument, as a tool to proclaim and teach Your Word this morning. And open hearts, Lord, to receive Your message. Give us all ears that hear and eyes that see as You lead and direct. Move among us, Lord, as You see fit this morning. Most of all, Lord, we pray for those in this service who have never committed their life to You. I pray that today will be that day that they commit to You for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. In our study of discipleship this morning, we come to the point of spiritual gifts. Now, a lot of people are afraid of that phrase or term, spiritual gifts. You don't have to be afraid, okay? We're going to get to what they are a little bit later, but I do want to call your attention to the idea of spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, the first thing that I want to call your attention to is the first line in verse 1 that we read. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts. Did you notice that the word gifts in that line, anything different about that? It's an italics. Okay? It's different. What does that mean? You didn't know you were going to have to take a test this morning, did you? Keep you from going to sleep on me. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the gifts in italics, that tells us that the translators that translated this scripture from Greek, they added that word gifts, and their idea there was to enhance a clarity or give you a better understanding. But sometimes they do that, and it's not really necessary, and it doesn't really enhance understanding. It kind of messes it up, to be honest with you. And I think this is one of those cases. Now, the subject of this chapter is spiritual gifts. But what Paul literally said here is now concerning the spiritual. See, he's going to get to the gifts a little later. But the first thing he wants you to know about spiritual gifts and about your service to the Lord is it is a spiritual service. Okay? Meaning it belongs to the supernatural. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. There's two different concepts there, two different realms. And to be successful in kingdom work and using your spiritual gifts, the first thing you need to understand is that your gifts are spiritual, supernatural. And it is God that enables you, it is God that empowers you, and it is God that blesses with success in the use of those spiritual gifts in the kingdom of God. Okay? It's all about God. It's not about your talents and abilities, it's about what God does and what God does through you. You can't serve or you can't do kingdom work like you would world work. It's different. And one of the places that is really big that it's different is that there must be a dependence upon God to do what God calls you to do. Kingdom work. And if there's a dependence, that dependence is going to be shown by prayer. Okay? It's a spiritual work. We have to seek spiritual help from on high. How do we do that? By prayer. I find it awesome that the creator of this universe is listening to me. Now, I don't mean that as I'm somebody. I find it just outrageous that the creator of this universe is listening to me. He's listening for my prayer. And you as a servant of God, He's listening for your prayer. And if you're going to accomplish anything as a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to spend time on your knees asking for God's power. That's what they did in the New Testament, Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And that church in Jerusalem, what happened to it? It exploded. And not in a bad way. In a good way. It exploded with growth. It exploded in ministry. Acts 3, they were commanded by the Pharisees, don't teach in the name of Jesus anymore. You know what that group of folks did? They got on their knees and said, Lord, give us boldness that we may proclaim your message with all boldness. You know what happened? God gave them boldness and they preached Jesus Christ in spite of the threat. And it goes on throughout the New Testament. Listen, I want you to understand. You must have that power from on high if you're going to serve the Lord. You may serve a while, but I guarantee you, if you depend on you, you're going to fall by the wayside. You're not going to make it. If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to have to seek God. You can't preach. You can't teach. You can't sing. You can't minister. You can't serve on a committee and be successful unless God is empowering it. You know why we had such good singing this morning? And we did have good singing, amen? We're blessed with great singers. But the reason that we did is God was in it. Okay? God has to be in it. And the first thing I want you to realize today is your vital need. For God to be empowering what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going very far. Second thing I want you to do as a disciple of Christ, and as you realize what we're doing is spiritual, second thing you got to do is you got to learn to trust God as He leads. You know what's going to happen as a disciple of Christ, and we get down on our knees, we realize we need God's power, and we cry, God, help me. Give me the power that I need to serve You in whatever gift that You're given. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to answer those prayers. But sometimes He doesn't always answer it the way that we think it's supposed to go. Did you know in God's economy, 2 and 2 doesn't always equal 4? What? Brother Doug, what? God doesn't always make sense to us. Can you imagine the children of Israel as they left Egypt and they go down to the Red Sea and they camp on the bank of the Red Sea and their backs to the Red Sea and their front is toward Egypt. They've got nowhere to run, but that's where God led them. What a military blunder. No, you know better than that, don't you? God led them there. The Egyptians came going to descend on them and destroy them. And remember what Moses said? He took that big stick and he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And God parted those waters and the children of Israel went across on dry ground, didn't they? Okay? Now, before those waters parted, most people would say, back, this just don't make any sense. Why would God lead us into an ambush trap like this? As God leads you as a disciple of Christ in using your spiritual gifts, don't expect it always to make sense. God may lead you to teach a class and you may say, you know, I can't do that. It's really good that you realize you can't teach that class. Okay? Because then you're going to depend on the power of God. Trust God even when it doesn't make sense. When I surrendered to the ministry, I had people tell me, at that time I was an air traffic controller and making a reasonably good living at that point. People look at me and say, you're just crazy. You're going to give that job up to be a preacher? I said, yep. It was like, it makes no sense. But you know what? It made sense to God. Okay? And one thing I know, that had I stayed where I was, I'd have been miserable if God hadn't just took me out of here, you know? But you see, what I'm sharing with you is God may lay things on your heart that everybody else said, I just don't get it. They don't have to get it. You just have to trust God. This is a supernatural work. Seek God in prayer and trust Him when He leads. Now let's get to the gifts. Okay? God has been so gracious that He's given us diverse gifts. Various talents, if you would. And I look here today and I think, wow, how different we are. I mean, how different, the many different abilities that are present here. But yet, have you noticed how it just works? You know why that is? Because we're all given the different abilities by the same God, through the same Spirit. He went through a list there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we read. He talked about the different the different gifts that they had been given. Word of wisdom. Words of knowledge. You know what those are? Words of wisdom were a special application or insight into applying God's Word. Words of knowledge are just special insight into the mysteries of God or into Scripture. Have you ever seen... I laugh and I don't mean to make fun, but I've heard of people saying, oh, I have a word of knowledge from the Lord. You need to do something. Listen. Somebody says they have a word of knowledge from God that I need to do something, I'm going to say, well, you go back to God and tell Him to tell me. You know? That's not even what word of knowledge was. Word of knowledge was special understanding of God and of God's Word. And he goes on, faith and healing, and it was real healing, the ability to heal the sick, and miracles, and prophecy, and discerning of spirits, and kinds of tongues, and he goes on and makes this list. And just so there's no misunderstanding before we go any farther, now abideth faith, hope, and what? And love. Okay? If you read in chapter 13, it talks about these spirits, these miraculous gifts, and says where that they will be done away with when that which is perfect or that which is complete is come. And that which is perfect is, of course, the Word of God. And now we have the Word of God, so we don't need that miraculous power. Okay? But understand, God still gives us gifts. He still spiritually empowers us. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to examine these gifts. Romans chapter 12 talks about some of the gifts that we have. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Or he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, I find it just really interesting that every one of these you can take, and it fits under faith, hope, and love. You notice that? Anyway, he opens with prophecy. And understand, the thing about prophecy is not just for telling the future. Prophecy, they also use that to describe some of their teachers. And which was the case here, I'm not sure. Okay, I figure it was a divine prophecy gift. And we know from 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that prophecy has been done away with. Okay? But we go on down this list, and he talks about ministry. How many ministers do we have? I'm one. Two or three. We all are. Okay? Ministry, that simply means to serve. Let me ask you, do you have a servant's heart? Not everybody has a servant's heart. But there are some that the joy of their life is just to serve others, to help those who are in need. Teaching. We know what teaching is instruction. We're blessed with teachers at Victory. Amen. Come on, Bible study participants. We're blessed with teachers at Victory. Amen. Sure. God has given us wonderful teachers, but I'll tell you what, He still... I believe He's working on some people right now to be teachers at Victory. Okay? And in your mind, you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't get up before the crowd. And like I said before, it's good that you realize you can't. But also understand, you got to trust God. He knows what He's doing. Okay? Trust God. He knows what He's doing. Exhortation. You know what exhortation is? Comforter. Encourager. Some people are a joy to be around. Some people are a downer too. Amen. You know, some people, if you weren't feeling bad when you met them, you are by the time you leave them. But boy, there are those who are just... You walk away from them thinking, man, I'm glad I saw him today. I'm glad I saw her today. Such an encouragement. Do you ever, have you gone down this list? Giving. You know, giving is a gift. It is. It is. God, everything that you have, God has given you. Okay? And I'm firmly convinced that a lot of us don't have any more than we have because we don't know how to be givers. Okay? And I'm a believer. Give and it shall be given unto you. Okay? But there's no doubt God enables some people to give more than others. Leadership Do you know leadership is a gift? Some people are just good at leading people. Mercy? Taking pity on another? I went down this list because I want you to understand that God is still calling and empowering people today. And your ministry may be very different from mine, but you're just as important and just as God-led and God-gifted as everybody else in this church. There are no little guys and big guys at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. The only big shot here is God. And you know, there are no little jobs. And I want to challenge you. In being a disciple of Christ, it's about, yes, learning of Christ, but it's about putting into action the things that we learn. It's about serving. Where are you serving? Don't be just a pew warmer. If that's all you're doing, and maybe there are some that is absolutely all they can do. And if that is absolutely, you can just know that that's what God expects of you right now, then warm that pew the very best you can. Okay? But it concerns me that church is becoming a spectator sport today. You know, it's like going to a ball game. I like going to ball games. Woo pig suey. You know, I'm a Razorback fan and I enjoy that, but there's nothing like getting in the game and playing yourself. Listen, don't view church as some place of entertainment or some place just to go spend an hour or two on Sunday morning. You view church as your opportunity to glorify God by you using the gifts that He's given to you. We're at servant survey time. I love servant surveys. Oh, bless your heart. I did, didn't I? I did. We're at servant survey time. Okay? I want you to understand, we changed the servant survey this year. It's not like it was. In this servant survey, you're not signing up to teach class. All right? You're signing up in there and showing where you believe God has given you an interest or a gift. Okay? Fill it out. Every member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, if you're 8 years old and you're a member, fill out that survey. Okay? All the way up to however old the oldest person is at Victory. Fill that thing out. And we have made it for your convenience where you can go online and fill it out, hadn't you, Brother Michael? Brother Michael did that. Wonderful, you know? We're modern. Fill it out, because I want to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take that servant survey, and we're going to look at the service opportunities around this church. And we're not, you're not just going to come up with a job and find your name on under a job. What we're going to do is we're going to take your information and we're going to look at what's available and we're going to give you a phone call and we're going to say, how would you feel about serving in this area or that area or whatever? Okay? And you're going to have the opportunity to say, no, I don't feel like that's what God has for me to do. Okay? Or the opportunity to say, yes, that's exactly what I've been looking for. But I want you, don't fill it out and be afraid. We're just going to plug you in somewhere and you have no say-so. Okay? Fill it out. Because it's going to be that we're going to use to get you plugged into to serving. And listen, if you're... if you've been considering, if you've been visiting Victory a while and you've been thinking about joining, let me just be blunt, and now's the time. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to be led of the Lord. I want the people here that God leads here. Okay? I don't believe that we have to talk anybody into anything about becoming a part of the Victory family. I think God does that. But if God has done that, now's the time to join, because we're going to be setting up the serving opportunities for the next year through this servant survey. Okay? Consider that. Think about it. Because everyone needs to serve. Every person needs, God has given to us. And what serving is our opportunity to give back. And we're all different. We all have different abilities and different gifts. But you know what? Doesn't it work beautifully when we all use our different gifts and abilities? And it just harmonizes and makes the church have outstanding ministries. You know what? We have a women's ministry at Victory. And I'm not part of the Victory women's ministry. You say, that's good, Brother Doug. We'd be worried about you if you were, right? But when they do something, I still have a part in it. Isn't it cool how that works? When they do something, you know, I still have a part, because we're part of the body. We're part of the same body. And it's given by the same Holy Spirit. And it's the use of our gifts that bind us together. You realize that, well, here's the reason for your gift. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Do you realize that your gift is a manifestation of the Spirit of God? That means when you use your gift, you are revealing God to others. Have you ever thought about that? When you use your gift, you're revealing God to others. If you don't use your gift, you're not revealing God to others. If you use your gift poorly, you're revealing a poor God to others. You see, there's a lot of responsibility here. If we serve, we have to serve well. Okay? I don't believe in half. I'd rather not do something than half-heart anything. Okay? I believe we need to give it our... There's no such thing as that's good enough when it comes to God. Okay? When it comes to God, what we do, and as we offer our service, the world should be able to see what God is doing through us and say, wow, that their God is an awesome God. Look what He's doing through them. Don't half-heart. If you're on a committee, don't half-heart it. If you're serving as a teacher, don't ever half-heart it. If you're an usher, people think ushers are no big. Yes, they are. They take the money. They're a big deal. I want to tell you, if you're an usher, you usher with all your heart so that people see how great your God is. That's what it is to be a disciple. Your gift has been given there in verse 7 as a manifestation of God through you. What for? For the profit of all. To bring, that word profit has two definitions. First definition, to bring together. Your gift connects us all. I said a while ago, I kind of got ahead of myself, when the women's ministry does something, I'm connected to it. You know? I may not really have played a part in it, but we're part of the body of Christ. We're connected. When somebody sings a special, man, I love to hear people sing. And I know they're singing to praise God, but guess what? It blesses me. It's given to bring us together. It's given for our benefit. For the benefit of all. Listen, If you don't serve, if you don't serve, we're missing a body part. Tonight we're going to talk about the body of Christ. And if you choose not to use your spiritual gift, whatever that gift may be, then somebody else is going to have to try to fill that spot. And I want to tell you something. My right hand, I like my right hand. Okay? Nothing else can do what my right hand can do. My left hand can't do it. But if I was missing my right hand, guess what? My left hand would have to try to cover for my right hand, wouldn't it? If you think that your service is not important, you think, you know, well, that's no big deal if I don't get involved. You just remember, how do you like your right hand? And if your right hand's not serving, your left hand's going to have to fill in for it. If you're not serving, Victory member, somebody else is going to have to fill in. And it may just be somebody that's not situated or gifted to be a right hand. All right? Serve. You may be here today, and I'm going to get off the Victory, folks. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to be saved. Okay? You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everyone here is going to leave this life. The question is, are you ready to face eternity when you do? Okay? There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And the choice is yours. You see, Jesus came to this earth, gave His life as a sacrifice for your sin, because the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay for your sin. And Jesus said, I love you enough that, so much that I will. Now today, you've got a decision to make. The decision's yours. Jesus said, come unto me. The invitation goes out to all. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The invitation goes out to every person here. But the choice is yours. Will you call upon Jesus for salvation? Maybe you're here today and the Lord is calling you into a special ministry. Maybe God's just been burdening your heart and you need to spend time at the altar. I don't know. Maybe you need to come and become a member of this church because you know it's time for you to use your gifts for the Lord. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you respond to God's invitation? Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of serving You. Lord, I pray for our membership. I pray, Lord, that You will give us hearts to serve. And not just to serve, but to use the gifts that You have given us. And that as we use those gifts, Lord, we will represent You well and honor and glorify You well, so that the world may see how great that You are. Lord, now we pray for Your will to be done in this invitation. I pray any decision that's made here today will be a decision that has been led by You. And we give You all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.